So, do you guys have impeachment fever or what? Impeachment talk, anyway, has kind of gripped the Washington, D.C. area. What do y'all think? Hogan, you first.
Look, impeachment is now a political tool and weapon that's going to be used, I think, for quite some time until we decide not to use it anymore. But the real question is, can you use it effectively? And can you bring the people along to your way of thinking? Meaning, Republicans just have a higher bar to clear on these types of things. And if you're on the left, you can talk about Donald Trump phone calls, you can talk about Russia collusion, and you can convene all the people on Capitol Hill you want to try and attack him with no evidence whatsoever. If you're on our side, you need a check that says to Joe Biden via Hunter Biden's bank account, signed Burisma. Otherwise,
Yeah.
they don't consider it to be real. So
Otherwise, it doesn't
you
even
got to
count.
get the people on your side here. And I think we have a shot to do it, but it's got to be done the right way.
Yep. Well, we're going to get into all of that, and we'll be joined by a special guest, David Pollack, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. So, as I just mentioned, this is the Line Drive Podcast, and please like and subscribe and download and comment and favorite and do all the things that you're supposed to do, and we really appreciate it. And we are joined today by David Pollack, a political consultant in his own right and a talk show host and a great communicator. David, thank you for being with us on the show, and tell us a little bit about yourself real quick and what you're up to.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm an attorney by trade. I do some work on campaigns. I guess I'm a political operative. And I host the David Pollack Show. It's a radio show on Monday nights here. It's on the Salem Network, but it's in here. It airs locally in Orlando on FM 94.9, AM 950, and you can catch it anywhere it streams and also as a podcast. So I'm trying to be everywhere.
So.
Go ahead.
Just real quickly, more on your background. Did you enjoy playing defensive end for Georgia? Or
Well, so that's the funny thing. So I actually lived in Georgia when David Pollack was playing at UGA.
Wow.
We're the same age, roughly, and our lives kept crossing. Like, there was one story where I had to take my dog, and I had an English bulldog, and I had to take her to the vet at UGA because, like all English bulldogs, they all have health problems. So I had to find a specialist. UGA had a nice vet. Well, of course, I make the appointment. Who do they think is bringing their dog in? Me. David Pollack. So anyway, I get there and they're all giggling. And I'm like, what are you guys giggling about? And, I'm like, you thought the other David Pollack was coming in, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I'll give you an autograph. You can hang it up back there. And you could say you got to meet David Pollack.
David Pollack. Great.
But yeah, I actually bought an engagement ring for my wife from the same jewelry store he bought his engagement ring from within 2 weeks. Like, insane. But yeah, the name has, but now I think I'm still employed. And I think David Pollack, I think he's no longer at CNN. So, or I'm sorry, at ESPN. So, I'm rising.
Oh, he got caught up in they had a big bloodletting a couple months back. Right?
Oh, that's right.
They fired a bunch of on-air talent and analysts and stuff.
David, when I got to town here in DC, moved here a few years ago for obviously the Trump administration, I remember Governor Hogan over across the river there in Maryland. And this is not because I thought I was a big deal to be put in the paper, but because everyone was so afraid of leaking, right? You couldn't talk to the press. I remember walking by newspapers and seeing Hogan says blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I never said that. Like, I would freak out. And I was like, Governor Hogan, yes. There's a
well, look, we're off topic, but I like rabbit holes. Remember when David Pollack was upset with the selection, the playoff selection committee, and he said something like about women? And so people were blowing up Facebook, like, David Pollack said this about women. Like, you know, they didn't have a place being on the panel or whatever because Condoleezza Rice was there. And I'm like, no, that's not me.
That's funny. There's an Irish cricket player named Tim Murtaugh, but he spells his name a little bit differently. There's not an extra U in there like I have. Right. And so I get tweets all the time that are intended for him and commenting about this or that in some cricket match. And it's, you know, the lingo in cricket is different. It's a different language. And I never understand any of it. So I can tell when it's cricket season because I get mistakenly tagged in these cricket tweets. And unfortunately, he gets tagged with tweets that are intended for me. And let me tell you, the ones that he sees are less polite, let's say, you know. And so we've actually connected, and we've DM'd back and forth a few times over the course of the last 3-4 years, and seems like he's a good guy. He's always one time he DM'd me and said, "Hey, I'm golfing at a Trump golf course tomorrow. In case I bump into him, what should I say?" And I'm like, "I don't think he's going to be there." But so, but anyway, we are getting off topic. So as I said off the top, the big news of the last day and a half or so has been Speaker McCarthy announcing the impeachment inquiry, and immediately, the White House and the Democratic media agreed in unison that, well, they have no proof. There's no evidence whatsoever. Let's put aside the fact that an inquiry is, in fact, the beginning of asking questions and seeking facts and seeking evidence and seeking information. But the things that we already know, the things that are in the public domain, is a giant mountain of evidence. And here you have the White House saying, well, they've never found anything, which is a lie. And then you have the media picking up and saying, well, they haven't found anything. And that's a lie. And Hogan, as you were saying, Republicans just have a higher bar to clear. And yeah, when they impeach Trump on two silly political impeachments, and the media absolutely pretends, like, from my perspective, Joe Biden could be standing in a lake, and the media would say, we see no evidence that he's wet. You know, that's basically the situation that we're in. Hogan, continue what your thoughts were.
Yeah, and Donald Trump could be standing in a lake and they'd say, aha, Donald Trump can't walk on water would be the story. I mean, it is ridiculous, the double standard, of course, and we know it. I think the good thing here about these Republicans, though, for the most part, at least at this point, they understand that and they're not whining about it, right? Like Mitt Romney did. And when he ran for president, he's always whining about the media. They understand the game, so they're going to play it a different way. And I think if they do so, sans cable networks necessarily, they're going to have to go on there, of course, but they need to focus on local media here. They need to go into these states and they need to do local radio stations. They need to do local television stations and really outline what's at stake and what's happening. You hit on something though, Tim. When they say there's no evidence, what they're really saying is there's no evidence tying Joe Biden directly to Hunter Biden. That's just not true. Now, you can argue the evidence you have doesn't make the link right. It's not good evidence. It's circumstantial. All evidence is circumstantial to some degree. But, I mean, when Joe Biden is calling into business meetings, and remember, a lot of the times he was calling into business meetings for Hunter. Hunter was overseas, so it was like 2 a.m. here. Why would you call to ask about the weather in the morning? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
And, and the excuse that the White House asked for that is that
fake emails to email about Ukraine. Ukraine policy actually changed from the administration while Biden was vice president. The WhatsApp message from Hunter saying, hey, daddy's right here. We need our money, China. And the same thing with a text message to his daughter saying, look, I hope you don't have to pay for the family like I've had to do all these years. Also, the tax evasion charges just on their face, no one's asking, why would he have to pay taxes on money? Where'd he get it from? Where'd he get the money from? Like, mm-hmm. Why would he have to pay taxes on money he didn't have? Oh, he had the money. Okay, where'd he get it from? No one's asking those questions. And Joe Biden sure has a lot of properties for someone who's been a civil servant. But a lowly servant for all these years. Just as it mounts up, you begin to see exactly what's going on, not just the whistleblowers, but the people who are in business with Hunter too, Devin Archer, Tony Bobulinski, on the record with great peril to their future, potential jobs and everything else, their reputations on the line. When you look at it, it's unbelievable, but the media does have their talking point. They do have their marching orders. Hey, there's no evidence here. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And if it gets parroted enough, the people are going to believe it. That's why Republicans, I think, have to take this fight local.
Yeah. David, your thoughts?
Well, speaking of the marching orders, I just saw a report that the White House is now saying that major news outlet, they're telling them there's no evidence that Joe Biden did anything wrong and it should set off alarm bells for news organizations. So the White House has already sent out the talking points that, and specifically said they need to ramp up their scrutiny for opening an impeachment inquiry on the basis of lies. This is what the White House is telling the press to say about it. So if there was any question before that the press gets their lines and they go out and just parrot it, we all know that they do.
Right.
But I mean, this is reporting, I think this was a New York Post or something, that was showing exactly what they were doing. But here's the thing, and I love double standards. And look, Republicans, conservatives, anybody who's not left, always likes to call out the double standard of the left. Nobody cares, of course, because they continue to have the double standard. But I love it when we impeach Joe Biden. It's, well, where's your evidence? But when you impeach Trump twice, it's, we have to pass the impeachment before you know what's in the impeachment. Right. And then in the impeachment, they're making up the evidence as they go. They're doctoring evidence. Their impeachments were so so poorly drafted that the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice wouldn't even preside over the second impeachment. And here they're talking about, oh, where's your smoking gun? Well, how about Devin Archer's testimony saying that Hunter Biden used his influence and used his the apparent association with his dad to get these business dealings? I mean, he's under investigation just for doing that. And then Biden, and here's the key. Biden says he had no idea about what his son's business dealings was. And that's the hook. This is what Republicans are saying. He lied about his knowledge of his son's business dealings. And as a result, the president is compromised and the country is compromised. And I'll say this one last thing. There was a lot of discussion of, well, some of this stuff that happened with Joe Biden and Burisma and all these other things, the quid pro quo, you know, the perfect press conference in front of the whole world. That happened before he was president, so he can't technically be impeached by it. I have two things to say about that. Well, the first thing about that is he continued to engage in activity while president based on this lie that he was saying that he didn't have any idea about his son's dealings. So it carried over into his presidency. But the other thing is, I think we've proven that you can be impeached after your presidency. You can be impeached from things that happened before your presidency if it's dealing with your presidency. But, you know, the whole thing is just the fact that we're going to try to say the facts don't support it. Where's your evidence? As if somehow to impeach a Democrat, you need to present your evidence first. And like you said, Tim, very early in the beginning, this is an impeachment inquiry. This is the House saying we're going to open the investigation. We're going to collect evidence now to find the evidence. And if we find the evidence, then we're going to do the articles of impeachment. So, yeah, this whole argument that there isn't any evidence is just, in my opinion, very weak.
Yeah. So the House Oversight Committee has already released a mountain of things and lots of different things that are already substantiated. So when the way, let me first play our somebody who currently holds a job very similar to one that Hogan did when he was in the White House, but Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, Hogan was principal deputy White House press secretary. Here she was today getting, this is Wednesday, getting the question directly to her, and you'll be able to see her response, and I don't think it will surprise either one of you.
How confident are you that there will be no evidence that incriminates President Biden and Hunter's business dealings as this goes forward?
So let me just give a little bit of a lay down here, because I think it's important. Any specifics to the inquiry? Certainly, I want to say this at the top, as I said to Darlene, I'm going to refer you to my colleagues at the counsel's office, but I want to be clear about a couple of things. You know, I just talked about Bidenomics. I just talked about the president's going to do tomorrow, really deliver a major speech, something that the American people want to hear about. What are we doing to improve their lives, work on the economy? And these are real, real issues, real priorities for Americans. And like I said, like lowering costs. But what you see Republicans in Congress, right, they have spent all year investigating the president. That's what they've spent all year doing. And have turned up with no evidence, none. That he did anything wrong. I mean, that is what we've heard over and over again from their almost year-long investigation.
Okay, no evidence whatsoever. And then earlier in the day on Good Morning America, here's our old buddy George Stephanopoulos. He already knew the script. He didn't need to be told.
To Washington now, the decision by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to open an impeachment inquiry into President Biden without a House vote in the absence of evidence of impeachable offenses. It's an unprecedented.
Isn't that unbelievable? In the absence of evidence. So here's, I was going to get into this. Here's one, just one. There's a long thread by Kyle Becker, who is a producer at Fox News. And he laid out on Twitter, X, I'm sorry, a whole list of all the things that House Oversight has already released. And here's one. Joe Biden met, this is one of the famous Cafe Milano dinner, Hogan, one of your hangouts. Joe Biden met in person. And had dinner, sat down and ate dinner with Hunter's business partners and the wife of the mayor of Moscow. That's in Russia, in case anybody is missing that. The wife of the mayor of Moscow had dinner with Joe Biden at Cafe
Milano. But
he didn't
get any money from her.
And subsequently, she wired $3.5 million to Hunter's firm.
What?
And then guess what? Yeah, when sanctions came down all over the place against a variety of figures in Russia, guess who did not receive a sanction? So this is what, according to the White House and their pals in the media, this is what qualifies as no evidence whatsoever. And that's just one. Guy sits down with dinner from the lady, the mayor of Moscow's wife. She sends Hunter $3.5 million and they never get in trouble with American sanctions. I mean, so let me ask you this, Hogan, you're a guy who deals with the press. When it is the attitude of the press corps that none of this impresses them, like you said, in the absence of a check made out to Joe Biden that says bribe in the memo line, right? What can we do?
Again, I don't know that you can do much. If you go back and look at kind of the cracks in the dam in the Joe Biden facade, if you will, remember when Maureen Dowd wrote the story about it's a problem that Joe Biden isn't acknowledging his seventh grandchild?
Sure.
Then you started seeing some more questions about that. And she's kind of a bellwether, right? I know Maureen, she's a bellwether here in DC and for New York. And so if she says it's okay to talk about it, and then you start to see all these polls come out about his age and how Democrats don't like that. Now, remember, this was news for months before the mainstream media finally started talking about it. And once they did, then it leads to the David Ignatius article, who likes Joe Biden, said he shouldn't run.
Right.
It becomes kind of that lemming mentality, as you well know. They're going to protect him at all costs. But ever so often, you're starting to see that crack permeate across the press corps, and they're asking questions. Now, look, they're not asking nearly the tough questions they would ask of the Trump administration or any Republican, for that matter, because they give Biden the benefit of the doubt and then up and protect for him, too. The only way I think this actually gets any traction again is McCarthy has to take this on the road, just like he goes all over the country ginning up money for his members. He's got to do that. But if I were him, I wouldn't just go to districts you have. I would go to Ken Buck's district. I would send comms people like you and me and others, David, to go on and be guests in these areas where.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And have those conversations. The more local, the easier it is to effectuate change. And that would put pressure on some of these guys. That's the only way I see it breaking through, because you're getting some pieces of it here and there, but nothing like the tidal wave it should be. So you're going to have to take it directly to the people, because the media always won't do it.
Yeah, I think that's a heck of an idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think you guys all, you both probably saw the idiocy involving Philip Bump, where he was presented, asked about the text message where Hunter had said to his adult daughter, dad makes me give him half of my money. And the guy says, the podcast host says to Philip Bump, what do you think of that? And he says, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Well, don't you think somebody should ask her? I don't know. So they're suddenly struck uncurious. They don't see the evidence. They're up to their eyeballs in this evidence, but they don't see it because they don't want to, David. And so you hear from your radio listeners all the time. And I know you did a lot of work, on Twitter or X Spaces. Is this something that I know that on our side of the fence, people already accept these things as the facts. What are the chances that it can spread from what you hear when you talk to, people in the real world?
This is the interesting part. So, I worked on a congressional campaign right leading up to in the 2022 year. And, I got to be around the public and around sort of the political insiders. And the sort of the consensus was, I don't know if there's an appetite for impeachment because, I think people really want to see results. They don't want to see Republicans doing the same thing that Democrats have been doing. They want results. They don't want to send, we take back the House and look, we're no better than the Democrats. And that's really what the sort of like the party line was. But out in the world, on the streets, people wanted blood. They wanted impeachments. They wanted indictments. They want a lock her up. And you saw it with the speaker fight. You really saw that sort of dichotomy of, I don't want to use the word establishment, but you saw more of the establishment type Republicans saying, look, we have a plan. Let's be patient. And then you saw more of the firebrands like Matt Gaetz saying, no, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do this now. And that led to the multi-day speaker fight. So you started to see the rift already there. But now here's what's changed. And I can tell you personally, I was in the camp of let's not impeach, because what good is that going to do? That's not going to make our gas prices cheaper. That's not going to make our groceries cheaper. Sure. That's not going to make America any better. We need to give results to the American people, not games. However, I've changed my mind. After the indictments for me, everything changed, because it occurred to me something, that even though they impeached Trump twice and we try to be better than them, we try to be the leaders that people expect us to be, right, then Trump got indicted once, then twice, then three times, then four times. It occurred to me that unless we start to beat them at their own game and play their own game so they can see the consequences, because they were warned after the first impeachment, hey guys, when power shifts, we can do it too. Is this really the route you want to go? And that was the reason why I think it was Joe Manchin voted against it, because it was like, I don't want to get into this game, right, if I'm remembering correctly. Or that might have been the filibuster debate. Either way.
Same thing. It's the same argument, right? Don't do this. Do not open this door, because you won't like where it leads, you know?
But they opened it. And now look where we are, right? But I believe unless we start impeaching just like they do, I believe unless we start indicting just like they do. Now, look, I'm a lawyer. I believe in justice. And I think what's happening to Trump is a corruption of justice. However, if a state like Mississippi goes and indicts Fannie Willis for whatever, maybe then they'll say, okay, this is getting carried away. Well, then you put down your guns, we put down ours. I'm a conservative. I believe in peace through strength. And Republicans had not been strong. And so maybe this indictment is what's necessary for us to be strong, for us to get the peace we need so we can start moving this country forward and do what the American people need to get real results.
Don't you, Tim.
Yes.
Tim and David both. It's almost like, you know, if there's one thing a liberal hates, it's living under their own policies. You can't change your schools. My kids are going to private schools.
Yeah, that's right.
Texas is a good place for all these illegals. We're a sanctuary city. We welcome everyone. How dare you? Now they're here. We don't want them, right? The same thing I think applies here, David, and Tim, you can touch on this, but I feel as though this is exactly where we are, in that I'm one of those guys too, where look, when we get power, let's all just put down our guns. But you know what? No, because this is the game you played. You started it. Culture war, you started it. We just noticed. Now you're mad that we noticed, and you're mad that we're calling us out, and you're saying, don't believe your lying eyes. I get it. But if we start to do the thing they do, you know, to us, to them, I do think there's some merit there. And I hate to say it because it doesn't feel right, but it feels like that's the game. That's the culture. That's the fight we're in. And if they're going to fight with machine guns, that's a bad example, guns, whatever, and we're going to fight with water pistols, we're going to lose those fights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And there's an exchange, but let me play this, because I think this gets to trying to win the fight. And Hogan, you're saying, you know, go local, let's take the show on the road, which I think is probably the only real way you can penetrate this beltway media. Because here's a congressman from Pennsylvania, Scott Perry, at a press conference this week, and he's being questioned by, of all things, a British reporter. I thought we took care of that in 1776. But one of the king's subjects giving one of our congressmen a hard time. Listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I just ask, what actual evidence do you have, as opposed to allegations, to show to the American public that would merit?
I don't know why.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I just ask, what actual evidence do you have, as opposed to allegations?
It didn't work out. Sorry about that. Anyway, the point is that he really gives it to her, and he runs down a list of all the things. And she says, well, how are you going to get the American people to understand those things? And he said, well, we'd love to, but you won't report it. And, you know, she's from a British publication, but he's speaking, I think, in general terms about the news media. And it is impossible to me to understand how the media thinks that they can keep this charade up. Where what they say, the Associated Press, who my children will never believe when they grow up and are able to understand, they're too young now, but when they're able to understand what news media outlets are and what they do, they will never believe that the Associated Press was once a respected news outlet, because right. of based on the way that they operate now. They had a tweet that they put up today that was so breathtakingly dishonest. I think it's worthy of mention. It said that Republicans are, quote, claiming without evidence that the Bidens engaged in an influence peddling scheme. Say what you want about not, maybe we don't have exactly all the bank account information lined up and we can't prove $2 million went to Joe Biden on a specific date. Okay, that's maybe information that they still need to find. Are you telling me, Associated Press, that you see no evidence of an influence peddling operation? What on God? There is no dispute that $20 million came into members of the Trump, the Biden family. There's no disputing that Hunter Biden was walking around with empty bags and people were just dumping cash into it. Devin Archer said that Joe Biden, access to Joe Biden was the brand. The influence peddling is known. That is not in dispute by anyone. And they're going to say, well, they're claiming without evidence that any of the, they would, and here's what they do. They drop that phrase in there. They invented that during the Trump administration without evidence, because it gives themselves permission to be as deliberately oblivious to the facts as they care to be. They've decided there is no evidence now, nor will there ever be any evidence. And so we don't even have to look into it. That's great, the dumb game. That's the dumb game they play. Drives me crazy.
So when the new piece drops, they can already be like, look, there's no evidence here, because they've already baked the narrative. That's a great point.
It's what they did with Hunter's laptop back in 2020. Right. They gladly, you know, the Biden campaign dangled in front of them. They engineered that thing with the 51 former intelligence officials. Hey, look, these guys say it's a Russian disinformation operation. Don't believe the laptop. It's a Russian plant. The media gladly clung to that and said, nope. It was fake. It's always fake. I'm not touching it. You know, it's the fruit of the poison tree. It's Russian, blah, 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 blah. That's exactly what they tried to do to the laptop. They were wrong about that. They're wrong about this on its face. I mean, good God, there is so much evidence out there.
David, do your listeners, I mean, I'm assuming they lean more conservative. I mean, are they angry about this and all of the bad policies too? Or are they skewed, you know, to one particular issue?
You know, that's interesting because, yeah, the impeachment they've been asking for since day one. I mean, this is something that everybody's been calling for, and they were upset that McCarthy didn't do this the first day in office. They want an impeachment. They want blood. But now here's something interesting that, you know, while we're going through this impeachment inquiry and while the news now is going to be focused on Biden and Hunter Biden and what essentially is stuff we already know, I wonder how much that distracts. And then I always have this thing where I'm wondering if Republicans in the House do what's best for Republicans in the House, not necessarily what's best for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump right now is on fire. He's getting all the news. Everybody's paying attention to these, you know, the prosecutorial misconduct everywhere. I wonder if this impeachment inquiry being done now and then a subsequent impeachment, that's going to kind of take away from Trump's fight against the prosecutions against him. So in kind of a way, you know, is the timing of this in a way to kind of take the attention away from Trump to benefit some of the other candidates in the field? I wonder. Nikki Haley has been spending an awful lot of time sending text messages to people in Florida, and she is creeping up in the polls. So, yes, you're right. My listeners do want impeachment. They didn't give them to him right away, but now they're giving it to him right when Donald Trump is blowing the polls out of the water. So I just have to raise that for the sake of, because, you know, the timing is certainly interesting, and I don't think Joe Biden is ever – Tim and I talked about this a lot on the show and then in the subsequent space. I don't think Joe Biden is going to be the Democrat nominee. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Tim, I know you have a lot more experience in this space than me, but I don't see how, when we talked about him getting played off stage with the music playing, I don't see how Joe Biden can make it through another presidential election unless they put him in the basement. But I don't know. There's just a lot at play here. And sometimes it makes me take a step back and go and try to look at the big picture and see what's going on.
Well, I think Biden will be the nominee if he wants to be. He's the incumbent president of the United States. If he gives the DNC the sign, yep, I'm really doing it. And so far, every indication, they're even talking about ramping up. They're going to change the way they raise money digitally, and they're going to pivot and focus more on Trump as the opponent than they have to this point, and more pointedly take on Trump. So he's showing signs that his campaign is actually gearing up. And I think that the only way he doesn't appear on the ballot as if he withdraws. I don't think the DNC will move against an incumbent president. I just don't.
It's got to be his decision. And he has such an ego, right? I mean, this guy is so narcissistic. He wouldn't allow anyone to push him off stage. He'd have to come to that conclusion, or there could be a health issue. I would say if he does win re-election, I think we're all in agreement, and I would be shocked if anyone on this podcast disagreed. Ain't no way he's making it through a whole second term. No way.
Wow.
have Kamala Harris.
You don't want to wish physical ill on the guy, but
you mentioned
just look at the condition he's in now.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Vietnam press conference.
Yeah.
I just want it duly noted. Peter Doocy of Fox asked Karine Jean-Pierre at the podium in the press briefing room, why does the staff treat him like a baby? Because that was an account from a book that Joe Biden was lamenting the fact that his staff treated him like a baby all the time. And she immediately snapped back and said, no, we don't treat him. That's ridiculous. We don't do that, whatever. Fast forward a couple of days in Vietnam, he's on stage, mid-sentence. They flip on the music, cut his mic, like he's over-talking an award at the Tonys, Oscars, and hook him off stage. You've got it?
Let me play it for you.
Oh, sorry.
Well, then there's a setup. Yeah, here you go. Thank you.
Let's hear it.
We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world.
I have no idea why these clips are not working. Jeez, I'm sorry. I should maybe, you know what,
if
I, I'll have to get, first of all, I have to get a production assistant and then fire that person for this malfeasance. So it's me, unfortunately, who screwed that one up. I should have tested it before showtime. But it's exactly like, I'll try to describe it, and then Hogan, you can go back to your thought. He's mid-sentence. Karine Jean-Pierre from off camera shouts, all right, thanks everybody, we're done. While the president is still talking, so she talks over him, right? Theoretically, he is her boss, you'd think. And then the music comes up, and it's like the Oscars, where the guy's going on too long and play him off, and then the music, it's insane. The president of the United States being shooed from the stage by his staff, and I don't think it was a live band. I think somebody hit play on an iPod somewhere, but I mean, just remarkable. So, Hogan, continue. I'm sorry that we had a technical problem there.
Well, no, I would just say, having been in those situations with a former president, let me assure you what you could not do.
Oh, yeah.
I know that. Let me assure you what I would not do with Donald Trump. It doesn't matter if we thought he was going in a place we didn't want him to go in or talk about something. You don't stop the president of the United States from speaking unless there's some agreement or some understanding with staff that guy was about to go into another one of his lie stories about standing there on 9/11 or flag draped coffins for his son or, you know, his house burning to the ground or another fantastical story that isn't true. Or they could tell he was about to lose it somehow, like mentally or physically, and then they wanted to step in. It's not a good look. And regardless of political party, when a president of the United States goes overseas, you want them to convey strength. You want them to at least look the part that, hey, regardless of what happens over here, they're out to protect the American people. You don't get that vibe from him at all, not just by what he says when he kowtows to other governments and begs the Saudis to make oil when we could do it here and all the things he does wrong. He just looks bad. The optics are bad. He sounds bad. His mental acuity, his physical abilities, all in steep decline, and everyone sees it. And so I hate that when he goes overseas, but it's not just us who sees it. It's the world, and it's a real problem. It's dangerous.
Sure. When the president of the United States makes an international trip, it's worldwide news.
Yeah.
No matter who it is and what he's doing. And Biden goes over there, and he is positively feeble out there on the world stage. What kind of a message does that show about American strength? I mean, you're exactly right. David, I can see you agree with all of that.
Well, and considering the point he was over there to strengthen our relationship, you know, and to get support for our efforts in support of Ukraine against Russia. I wouldn't follow Joe Biden into the grocery store, let alone a war. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so when you go with the purpose of your trip is to strengthen your support with allies, you're doing the opposite. You're better off not taking that trip. You're better off saying, Jill has COVID, I'm staying home. Because like you said, Hogan, he's hurting us more being there than he's helping us. And if the point of that trip was to shore up support, you did the opposite. So what was the point of that trip? And that's the whole thing. I think the point of the trip was to get him out of the country for 9/11 and make some kind of an excuse on why he's not going to be at any of the ceremonies. You know why? Because the bigger story of 9/11 would have been him bumbling and mispronouncing or saying something awful where they couldn't play him off stage. And that would have been the story of his reelection campaign. So, you know, it's just another effort to hide him. But
that's a great
point. I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't think, but this is why Donald Trump's going to win reelection. We know he's going to be the nominee. Tim and I talk about this all the time. But this is the number one reason why Joe Biden will lose in the next election, because all the people who were like, I'm not sure if I'm voting for Trump again. Let's try something new. Let's try Joe Biden. You know, because look, Trump is a divisive person. I think he was one of the best presidents that our country's ever had. He's certainly the best president of my lifetime. But his style, it's not what Republicans are used to. It's not what people are used to. So it makes them uncomfortable. In 2016, they hated Hillary Clinton so much more than any fear they had for Donald Trump, which is why he surprised the world and he won. Plus, he ran a much better campaign. But in 2020, well, now, you know, we had COVID and there was a little bit of uncertainty. People were a little weak, you know, as far as their faith in the government. And then Joe Biden, you know, Uncle Joe, he's just this nice old guy. They kept him in a basement.
Yeah, that was never true.
Look what we have now. We have the country is going so fast in the opposite direction. People can't afford things anymore. People can't get a loan anymore. People can't, you know, do any of the things they used to when Donald Trump was president. The Do You Miss Me Yet campaign will never be stronger. And the polls are already showing that. Republicans are not on the fence anymore with the president. They're way behind him. And I think the swing voters that we lost in 2020, they're going to come back with so much motivation to vote for Donald Trump because they're done with Biden. And I think all of this, as we go further, you know, you're right. Maybe the DNC clears the path for him if he wants to be the nominee. But if Joe Biden is the nominee, I can't imagine a single person except for like a true believer, far left liberal voter walks into that polling station and goes, yeah, next 4 years is going to be much better without Donald Trump. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States if Joe Biden is the nominee.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. And these are the to get people educated on what it is that Joe Biden is accused of and what the House Republicans are going to be trying to put together on this. I mean, it's actually for the benefit of the Republicans in the House, who are the ones who are going to be putting all this together initially. It actually is a very simple story as compared to some other previous scandals under other administrations. Whitewater, you know, trying to explain that. No one knew what Whitewater was in the Clinton years. But this is very simple, because here, this is what we, by the way, this again falls under the umbrella of it's disgusting that the national news media says that there's no evidence, that the Republicans have produced no evidence whatsoever. Here's what we know about what Biden has done. Hunter Biden was paid enormously by wealthy foreigners who work in businesses in which he had no expertise. Also, a former business partner of his, Devin Archer, testified to Congress that selling access to Joe Biden is the family's brand. Now, while Vice President Joe Biden joined his son in meetings with those business clients, either in person or on the phone, numerous times, as many as 20 conference calls he was on with Hunter's business pals. Hunter later claimed that he was forced to give his father half of his money, and we know that the two of them commingled their finances and shared bank accounts. At least 9 Biden family members, including a grandchild for some reason, received a total of about $20 million wired through 20 different shell companies. And all along the way, Joe Biden, his 2020 campaign, and now the flunkies in his administration have told a series of evolving lies about what Joe Biden knew and what his participation in the racket was. It's unbelievable. They sold Joe. They all got millions and millions of dollars. Now, the last thing that the media will cling to is that, oh, there's no evidence that Joe directly benefited from all that money. Let me tell you, if Hunter Biden so much as paid for Joe's cell phone bill, if he covered one credit card payment, if he covered a mortgage payment, if he paid for an addition on the house, if he paid for anything, if he took him out to dinner. That's Russian money.
Also, Tim, David, I said this on the last podcast, but I think it's worth repeating. The media is trying to make you believe that Joe Biden is the most caring, loving, involved father in the history of fathers. Also, at the same time, he had no idea what Hunter Biden was doing professionally or personally. It's insane to try and pretend as though they didn't work together in some form or fashion. Tim outlined all those pieces of evidence, and that's just a portion of it. There's a whole lot more.
That's just the simple stuff.
The money itself, you mentioned the $20 million. What did he do? Like, if you could show me...
What was Hunter's product?
The bill, right. If you could show me the invoice of what they did or the... you know, memorandum of understanding or something. Here's what we're going to do for you. It's nothing. It's so obvious there's a connection here. And for the media to try and downplay it, I mean, I know we beat this dead horse now at this point. We all know they're horrible, but it just is so gut-wrenching, and there's a reason that the media isn't popular. There's a reason that no one trusts the media. They're somewhere around the CDC at this point, sadly, is that they've been lying to us for so long, and it's not just about who they prosecute, it's about who they protect. And they're protecting Joe Biden, they're protecting Hunter Biden because it's their guy. And I understand that, but that's not your job. Your job as a member of the media, obviously, is to report information, to get facts. And all of these folks called me every day saying they had sources in buildings of three-letter agencies and everywhere up, top, down, the bottom of the deep state with all these sources that would say X. And I would tell them on the record, I'll go on the record and say, no, that's not true. I was in the meeting or whatever. And they'd say, no, we're going to go with the source. These same reporters can't be bothered to call any of these sources that they were working for years to ask them if any of this stuff is true. Either A, that they don't want to know, or B, they do know and they're just covering it up. And either way, it's not good.
No, they don't want to know. Yeah. That's it. That's the truth of it. I think we're running a little bit long here, guys. That the conversation flies so quickly. So I mean, let's wrap it up with this thought. I'll ask each of you, David, you first. Where does this go? What happens with the? We're starting now as a brand new impeachment inquiry. You assume that it heads for a full blown impeachment hearings and then a vote and such. But how does this play out?
I don't. You know, I have to say, I don't think impeachment is ever going to pass this House of Representatives. I think I don't think they'll get it. They'll have to be 100% on party lines. And we only have, I think, a handful of votes to spare. And I don't think we have enough people that will go along with it. I think they'll go along with the inquiry. I think they'll go along with getting the evidence. But I don't think at the end of the day, this House of Representatives is going to do what the Democrats did. And let's be totally united in impeaching Joe Biden. I don't think they're going to do it. Either way, I don't think it matters because I think we've already, look, impeachments have always been political. It's a political process. But impeachments now have become so political, with Donald Trump. Even if Joe Biden's impeached, all the Republicans will be like, yeah. All the Democrats will be like, oh, what are you doing? And when it gets to the Senate, he's not going to be convicted. So there's no way he's convicted in the Senate, even if it does get past the House. So at the end of the day, unfortunately, I think this inevitably becomes a distraction. The media won't cover it in our favor. And so, yeah, I think it gives people on the street what they wanted, and that was an impeachment. But I think at the end of the day, I don't think it gets us any closer to what we really want, and that's Joe Biden being held accountable for his family's corruption. I think we get, like Nancy Pelosi said in 2019 or something, I think beating Joe Biden in 2024 gets the country what the country wants and gives the voters what the voters wants, and that's getting rid of Joe Biden. This impeachment's not going to do it. And you know, his reputation can't be damaged any more than it is with the people who care. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I guess stay tuned to see what evidence comes in. I think, if anything, it helps Donald Trump or any other Republican that might get the nomination, although I think it's going to be Donald Trump. It'll help them in their campaign efforts because they'll have all this new evidence, you know, that they say doesn't exist that we'll get from these impeachment inquiries. And maybe a side benefit to tie back what I said before, maybe the fact that we did it to them, they did it to us, maybe, okay, fine, we're even, and maybe we can move past this. That's my thought.
It is 100% not conceivable that Joe Biden didn't know about all this stuff and is not personally benefiting from it. There's no way. You know the kind of guy he is, with the chip on his shoulder. He always feels like he's been overlooked, that he's gotten kicked around a little bit too much. You know, he's Joey from Scranton and all that stuff. He's had a chip on his shoulder his whole life. There is no chance that everyone around him named Biden is getting rich off of his name and his career, and he's not getting a piece
right,
of it.
Right, and he's not.
Zero chance of that.
Great point.
And anyone who knows him personally, which I do not, but anyone who knows him personally would have to ask themselves, gosh, if he looked around and saw everybody rolling in money and he wasn't getting a piece of it and they were all getting rich because of him, would he stand for that? And the answer is no, of course not. And this just doesn't, anyone who says there's nothing here, it doesn't pass the smell test. Anyway, whether it's true or not, that doesn't necessarily matter if when it's a party line vote in the House and there's some fence sitters, and it certainly won't matter when it gets to the Senate, if it does, for a trial. Hogan, where does this go in your view?
the cynic in me agrees with David in that I don't think it really goes anywhere from an impeachment standpoint. Obviously, even if they passed it in the House, it wouldn't be wouldn't amount to a conviction. I will say, though, the Republicans have done a great job bringing out this evidence. If they are patient enough to do this the right way, I think more evidence comes out. And I would argue this obviously becomes a serious political problem for Joe Biden and a legal problem for his family. I do think it goes that route if it's done correctly. And if we think what's out there is actually uncovered and found, I will say, David, what I don't want to hear from the Democrats, it's kind of off the table for this election, and that is, I don't want to hear anything about gun control anymore. I don't want to hear about you paying your fair share in taxes. And I don't want to hear about white privilege. Hunter Biden got rid of all of that. So I'm sorry, there's not going to be three of the issues we're going to have to face this time. But I think if Republicans do take this to the local level, as I've said before tonight, I think there stands a chance of getting a couple of those fence sitters on the Republican side to vote for impeachment. I don't know that that matters. I'm more concerned about exposing what he did and who he is, because you lose elections when you shock the electorate. And we were sold on Joe Biden being old Uncle Joe, Mr. Nice Man, old Scranton Joe, like Tim just said. You know, he's ridden a million miles on Amtrak. He's got a CDL license. He drives an 18-wheeler rig. All the things he does, and you find out none of it's true. It's going to be quite jarring to people. Forget the policies for a minute. Just as a person, he's not really well-liked. We were told he was kind. We now see stories of yelling at staff. That's not a thing anymore. But I think the
How about the callous way that he treated the Secret Service agents with regard to his vicious dogs? They cared more about the dogs than the humans.
Look, he didn't care. He ate skinny dips in front of them. He did his vice president. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But I think the policies at the end of the day,
I don't
if we run on the policies that really did improve people's lives, I think we're going to be a whole lot better off. And Joe Biden does not have that record to run on. And the uniqueness of having an election where two men will run against each other, both touting records as president of the United States, if we can break through touting those 80-20 issues Donald Trump won on and got implemented, I think we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. I know. And I see your cynicism, both of you, and I understand why you head that way. But, you know, I'm hopeful that because I'm firmly convinced that Joe Biden is 100% guilty of all these things. And I hope that there is sufficient evidence put forward that gets some of these people to go, you know what, I just can't. I can't excuse this. I just can't, because it's criminal. It's criminal. And it's monetizing your role as an elected official. I think it has to be made an example of. But that's as maybe, and we don't know what's going to happen. Last thing, David, you want to promote your show again? Talk about your Twitter Spaces?
Yeah, sure. If you guys want to hear more from me, sometimes Tim, because he's been a regular guest on the show, you can go and check out thedavidpollockshow.com, thedavidpollockshow.com. You can find all of my past episodes, my current episodes. So I'm on the radio, but sometimes people don't listen to the radio. So you can actually watch me on the radio, on my website, on YouTube, and then you can listen to it anywhere where we stream it, on my social media. And if you want to follow me on Twitter or X, I'm nobody else has to call it anymore.
I know. Over time, you don't have to keep saying that.
Yeah.
Eventually, you'll be able to just say X.
X. But you can find me there. I'm at The Pollock Show. So if you want to follow me there, at The Pollock Show. And if you're in the Orlando area, it's FM 94.9 AM 950, The Answer Orlando. So I appreciate you guys so much having me on your podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope we can continue this conversation on my show, on the Spaces, back on here. This is an important thing for us to be talking about, because we know the fake news isn't covering it. And so it's our responsibility to continue to talk about it, learn from each other, and then take it to our community so everybody can really know what's going on, because we can only rely on each other these days, because nothing you get from the computer or your cell phone is telling you the truth anymore. So
you're right.
I appreciate you guys so much.
Right. You are about that. We appreciate you. And Hogan, good to see you one day soon. Sonny Joy Nelson will be back with us.
One day.
We look forward to that day, because this has been the Line Drive Podcast.